Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 24. I'll invite your attention to that this morning. As you see the decorations for the missions conference remaining with us this week, and they ask about when to take them down, I said, let's leave it for another week. It's just to remind us again of what God wants to do through us on the mission fields around the world. But also, I just love seeing all of these various things that represent people around the world who need Jesus. And we have a part in being a part of that. And so I want to just say thank you once again to those who work so diligently, not just for the preparations that we see, but all of the things that are unseen. The apartment was cleaned every day, and just so many things. The meals were prepared, and just so many different things. And I just want to say thank you for your part in it and the opportunity of giving each of the missionaries. We had five missionaries, and we were able to give them a good offering each. Whether it was the miles they drove, we tried to calculate that. Whether it was we were able to give each of the ladies a $100 gift card so that they could have it to spend however they wanted to. And then we gave the preachers an honorarium, a love offering for their preaching and teaching from the pulpit, as well as helping us to understand what all is going on in the mission field around the world and through them, whether it was in South America or wherever it was, as they represented. So it was a good week, amen, and a busy week, but a good week. Well, last Monday, I was came before the Lord. I have a time that I spend with the Lord in the mornings, as most of you do, and so I had my time with the Lord in the morning, and it was kind of an unusual morning for me, and so I just went to the Lord. I have a certain way that I study, and I just said, Lord, I'm hungry today, and I just have some needs. I know I have my normal reading, but Lord, I'm so hungry from your word. I need you to meet with me this morning. I know you do every morning, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your leadership, but I just need something from you this morning that's special. And so I could not get Proverbs out of my mind. Now, some people, they read a proverb that corresponds with the day of the week, day of the month. And so it may be, you know, the third day of the month. Well, they'd go to the third chapter and read Proverbs. I've done that in the past. I don't do it necessarily now. I read Proverbs from time to time, but not just on a regular basis. And so I just could not get, I thought about other, but I just could not get Proverbs out of my mind, which was unusual. I said, okay, evidently the Lord's leading me in the direction of Proverbs. What Proverbs do I read, do I wonder? Well, when I do it by the day of the month. So I calculate what day of the month. And knowing me that early in the morning, I probably looked at my cell phone to see what day of the month it was. And it was the 24th. And so I thought, all right, 24th Proverbs. I only read just a brief passage before I realized it was tailor-made. Is that exactly, sorry about that, exactly what I needed for that particular time. I mean, it was just wonderful. And so God laid it on my heart that early, that day, to preach it this coming Sunday. Hadn't planned on that at all. I was just having my time with the Lord. I don't usually study what I'm preaching. Not often. Sometimes I do. But I'm reading through the Bible, and that's kind of how I normally do it. But I came to Proverbs 24. So I'm going to invite your attention there, as your Bible is already open to that text. But let's just look at it. And boy, what a blessing it was to me. Now, the first couple of verses deal with pushback. And anytime you have a ministry, you push back. There's a pushback. The Bible says in Romans 7:21, the Bible said about individuals, my life, your life, if you know the Lord is your Savior. The Bible says this. Paul says, I see then that there is a law that when I would do good, what's the next word? Evil is present with me. Very good. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So every time we set out to do something individually or corporately as a ministry, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be challenges. All right? So I was just reading, and so verses 1 and 2 just dealt with that, and I'm familiar with that. But then I came to verse number 3, and let's look at it. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 as a unit. Verses 3 and 4 as a unit. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wow. What was foremost on my heart and mind when I went to the Word of God was this church family, my opportunity to be your pastor. And as I began to read these verses, the Holy Spirit reminded me what day it was. It was exactly, I didn't think about it ahead of time. It was after reading this that the Holy Spirit reminded me it was a year to the day that I was on my knees in Shelby, North Carolina, praying for something unrelated to Calvary Baptist Church. You've heard the story. I'll not repeat it all. But the Lord reminded me on my knees a year ago that I ought to consider coming here, even though I was on faculty of a school I love. But as I was beginning to read these, the Lord reminded me of what it takes to make a successful, a biblical, a God-honoring, and a God-blessing church. And it's found in these two verses. It really is. Now, this is true of an individual's life. This is Solomon talking to his son. But nonetheless, not just father to son is this true, but from a pastor standpoint, if I want to be the pastor God wants me to be, and I want this church to be what God wants it to be, then he gives us the formula right here, and then he adds commentary to it after that. So what I'd like to do is just share with you what God laid on my heart early in the morning. Just be honest with me, is it 4:30 in the morning? Last Monday, not tomorrow, obviously, but last Monday, not the Monday before, but last Monday, exactly 1 year from the date that I was on my knees and God put it on my heart. It just advanced it to my mind. I could not get away from it. It was like the Proverbs this morning. I could not get away from it while I was on. I was praying for a certain individual that's not a part of this church. It's on faculty. An individual is on faculty at Ambassador, praying for him. And as I was praying for him, God began dealing with my heart and would not leave me alone about it until I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but if this is something that you're interested in, Lord, for me, I've got a legal pad to the next of me. I'm going to sit up in that chair, and Lord, if this is from you, it may not be. I may just have been thinking about it. Didn't remember thinking about it, but maybe I was. And I got up and I filled a legal pad page all the way from top to bottom of why God would want me to consider coming to Calvary. Now, that's then, this is now. So let's look at it. Let's look at it as we see, okay, this is the way a church, an individual, a family is to be built. And he uses the analogy of building a home. All right, so let's look at it. Let me read it again, if I may. Let's start with the first verse 1. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction and their lips of mischief. And that's just going to happen. That's pushback, and we understand how that is from Romans 7. But what we're really interested in is, what is God wanting us to do here? He says, through wisdom is an house builded. That's the first part. The second part is, by understanding it is established. Second part. Third part, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. When we think about it corporately from a ministry standpoint, what he is saying here is God has his way of wanting to bless our lives so that when we arrive at the place of God's will and blessing in the inner chambers, in the heart and soul of this ministry, or my life if I'm looking at it individually, your lives, but let's look at it this morning from a corporate standpoint. If we do what God says in here, the heart and soul of this ministry, whether it's tomorrow or 5 years from now, whenever it is, the heart and soul of this ministry will be filled with precious riches, his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It'll be filled with not only precious, but pleasant riches. Oh, what sweet fellowship there is. If we walk together in the light, if you are in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So many things that are just pleasant in the Christian life, God's going to do it. So let's look at it very quickly as God just laid it on my heart. All right, so the first of these is through wisdom. That's a practical understanding, a practical application to what's going on. James says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. He says, let no man, that man shall not receive anything from the Lord. I didn't quote it quite right at the last. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. There we go. So here's the point, is that wisdom is important in the building process. Because notice what it says, through wisdom is an house builded. So that means there needs to be that practical application of what we know God wants in our lives. If we were building a house, you wouldn't just say, all right, I want to build a house. Got to build a house, all right? Got my tape measure out, got my hammer out. Okay, I'm going to build a house. Well, then anyone with logical thought would say, well, what kind of house do you want? Do you want a 5-bedroom house? Do you want a 1-bedroom house? Do you want a basement in it? Do you want an attic in it? What do you want in the house? I mean, it's not just 4 walls and maybe even a roof. That's not really much of a house. I mean, it's a shelter, but not really a house. He says, through wisdom is an house builded. As I think about that, and I think about the wisdom that goes into it, where, okay, I want 5 rooms, or I want 2 rooms, or I want heat, I want air conditioning, I want whatever I want. He's thinking ahead. The house hasn't started yet. The plans, the blueprints haven't even been formulated yet, been put together yet, drawn yet. And yet, the ambition is there, and the ability to think through it ahead of time and say, what do I want? What do I want in this house when it's finished? Not right now, but when it's finished, the architectural, the contractors, the building, everything's finished, and they say, here's the key, move in. What do you want in it? When you and I at Calvary Baptist Church think about 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 2 years from now, what do we want in Calvary Baptist Church? Oh, we want to have a functioning building, all right. And we want to have asphalt that is just right. We want to have a fellowship hall that can feed however many. And those things are good. Those things are good. But when we think about what we want at Calvary Baptist Church, it comes down to this: principled ambition. As a matter of fact, in each one of these three key areas, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, there's principles that go along with it. And when we're at a place where we're saying, what do we want in Calvary Baptist Church 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, until Jesus comes, what needs to be in the makeup of Calvary Baptist Church? We stop and think about, oh, we could name a number of things, couldn't we? How about love for souls? Would that be amen or no? Amen. How about love among the brethren? Amen or no? Amen. Amen. How about the pursuit of God's will for this place concerning being a light for the entire city? That thankfully there's other churches here that love God and are standing, but if there were no other churches, none, no other churches, that this ought to be salt and light to a world that's going just as fast as it can in the wrong direction. And there needs to be a church just like this one and others, yes, no doubt about it. But certainly at Calvary Baptist Church, there needs to be wisdom that we have put the thought into it. We realize we're here, we have a building, we have a fellowship hall, we have a parking lot. But those things are the temporal things. What about the eternal things that matter so much? How is it that we're going to go about it? How is it that we're going to go about it? Oh, as I think about it, and our minds could just race about mission trips. Our minds could just race about family camps. Our minds could race about, oh, some good quartets and trios and solos and singles, quintets and so forth, the choir. We could talk about a lot of other things that we would say, yes. But when it comes down to it, it really goes to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do. Why don't you say it with me? Do all to the glory of God. Very well done. Let's say it together. Can you quote the verse with me? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's principled ambition. It hasn't arrived yet. I haven't eaten yet for my lunch meal, or I haven't gone soul winning yet this afternoon, or whatever it is. But I better stop and back up just a little bit and say my attitudes, my actions, my ambitions that I'm about to pursue, could I go to the Lord and say, here it is, Lord, I've done this for you. And Lord, this is the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place, and therefore it's virtuous, and I can lay it at the altar of thy will and expect to hear well done. Not just necessarily the right thing, but the right thing at the right time in the right place with the right ambition. As we go about that, principled ambition helps us to build the house as it should be, rather than just, well, what do? Oh, we take an offering now. What do? We stand up and sing a song. What do we do next? We sit down and don't sing a song. Brother Bray's going to preach a four-hour message. And then we're going to stand up. Well, hopefully not. But we're going to stand up. We're going to do something else. After a while, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll walk out, and we'll go eat the noon meal. We'll come back and do whatever. Well, we can operate that way. A lot of churches do. Every week, stand up, sit down, do this, don't do that. Stand up, sit down, whatever. Or we can have principled ambition. That each part, each member of Calvary Baptist Church says, you know what? The love of Christ, as we studied in Sunday school, love of Christ constraineth us. That if we thus judge that one died, that all are sinners, that all the one died for all, then have sinned. And yes, he did die for all. And wait a minute, I'm blood bought by the blood of Christ. Therefore, if I'm a part of Calvary Baptist Church, I'm not to be a spectator. Being in the assembly of believers is not a spectator sport like going to watch a football game or a basketball game or something else. But wait a minute, God wants me to be involved in this. And if we're going to build this house, if we're going to build this church, number one, it needs to be for the glory of God. Not for any man, any woman, any preacher, any deacon, anyone else. It needs to be for the glory of God. And the only way that's going to happen is by principled ambition. But let's notice the second in this series of Christ's likeness being built up in us. He says, through wisdom is an house builded. But he doesn't stop there. He says, by understanding it is established. The word understanding, we probably all thought about wisdom, understanding, knowledge. They're all kind of interchangeable, but they're really not. They're similar, yes. They're like first cousins, if you could put it that way. But understanding actually has the idea of skill in the kind of building things that we're talking about. It's the kind of thing where it's skilled in putting things together and those kinds of things. It could be in administration. It could be in a lot of different venues or areas of life. But he says, and by understanding it, what? The house. Wisdom. Wisdom is forethought, but now understanding, the Bible says, it is established. We think about that. It is established. The word established is an interesting word. It actually has the idea of being on piers. P-I-E-R-S. It has the idea in mind of stability. It has the idea of firmness. So he is saying this, that when you and I stop back, we step back this morning and say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what kind of an assembly of believers do we want to have here? We want to have an assembly of believers that are following biblical principle and saying, wait a minute, it needs to be firmly established. Now, I don't remember the exact number, but you are seated in faith this morning. Did you know that? When you sat down on this pew, as a matter of fact, when you walked down this aisle, you were walking in faith. You were seated in faith. Some, perhaps most, know this, but many years ago when this building was built, this was kind of swamp area. And so when they built this building, And everything passed inspections and all of that. But when they built this, I just want to set your mind at ease on that. All right. But when they built this building, it was built on piers. They were wooden telephone post kind of structures, if I understand it correctly. Does Brother Danny, are you back in the sound room? Do you remember how many of those there were?
I don't remember how many, but they're all around the...
It's quite a few. There's one. What they did is they took these and they put them down one at a time. They drilled the holes. They put them down one at a time, large enough to where this auditorium rests on those kinds of piers. Why? Because the ground wasn't steady. And yet they made certain that everything that went on here, whether we have an auditorium, whether we have restrooms, whether we have, no matter what, we have downstairs, a basement, we have all these things that are a part of this large building. They wanted to make certain that it would be stable, it would be solid, it would be firm for years and years and years to come, and it has been. If you'll take your Bibles very quickly with me, we don't have a lot of time, but 2 Timothy tells us what the piers are to be here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. If you'll turn there with me, please, if you have your Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And many of you know this by memory, but it's good to see it in our vision as well. Here we go. The Bible says it like this. Would you read it aloud with me? Just, and we normally stand for the reading, but we'll just be seated. But let's read it together in unison. And it reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You see the word perfect there? It has the idea of completion. And he is saying that an individual's life and corporately a ministry is to be built on these piers. And that is the piers found in the Word of God. Because why is the Word of God given to us? It's given to us, notice what it says in verse number 16, for doctrine, that's teaching, that's the standards by which we're to live. Then it says by reproof, that's telling us here's the standard, but we're not living up to the standard, or the ministry's not up to standard, so he's going to give us a reproof, he's going to fuss at us, if I can put it that way. But he doesn't leave us there in that state of rebuke. He says it's profitable for doctrine. We can live up to the standard as a ministry. For reproof, here's where we're not living up to that standard. For correction, God says, now here's what the Word of God tells you. You're down here, but the Word of God shows you how to get back up here. For correction. And then it says, finally, for instruction in righteousness. That's so you don't ever get back down here again. That's so that until Jesus comes, Randy Bray or Calvary Baptist Church or your name, you don't have to live a substandard life. You and I can live, and this ministry can exist in a standard that we read and that we talked about, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. What brings God glory in my life? What brings God glory in this ministry and in your lives? It's living up to His standards that He has given us. And if we're down from that standard, He tells us how to get back right. And when we get back right, He gives us that instruction that will keep us going in a direction that will ultimately and presently be to His honor and glory. So the first is, what kind of a church do we want? Wisdom. Wisdom is how the house is built. How the house is built. Sorry about that. How the house is built. And so when we exercise that of saying, what kind of a church do we want? What kind of a Christian do I want to be? It needs to be to His standard. Not my thinking, not my philosophy, if it's not biblically based, but according to His Word. So it needs to be principled in ambition, that's wisdom, but by understanding it is established. That's principled actions. That's getting the blueprints out. That is someone who is, and that the understanding there also has the idea of a skilled, but it's a different skill than you see in wisdom. The skill in understanding is how to bring something to action. And it's like the architect as he sits on his desk that's at an angle a lot of times. And he gets the writing instrument out that's designed for that. And he begins to draw this line and that line. And we have some engineers in our church, and they probably do the same thing, whether it's electrical or whatever. But they draw out exactly, this is how it's to be built. Now, we have the overall plan. We want three bedrooms, or we want a hallway in the auditorium, or whatever it is. But now we're getting down to business. And we're drawing the individual plans. That door has to be this wide to be handicap accessible. And by the way, you have to have this width, and you can't have more people in here than can egress, that can get out during a fire. So everything has to be according to code. In order for the inspector to say everything's according to code, you can inhabit, or you can have this building or a house or whatever it is. When you and I think about what we want this church to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, we come to a place where we have to go beyond just, this is what I want in my heart. This is what I want. But we have to go down to the details of the Word of God. And you say within your own heart and life, Brother Chris does, Miss Mary does, Brother Josh does back there, Brother Tim does over there, my sister Beth over there, my sister Miss Wanda. You're going to be glad I didn't say what I was thinking Gertrude. Where Gertrude came up, I don't know. But that was always in my mind. All right, so you'll be forever Gertrude now. All right. But what matters is that each one of us, there's no hope, is there? Kaylee's shaking her head like there's no hope. Here's the point, is that it has to come for each one of us. Now, I'll be glad, I'll be thrilled to death if Miss Annie serves God with all of her heart and has a passion for missions and a passion for Calvary Baptist. And I'm glad she does. But that's not good enough. I have to have that too. And I have to say, Lord, what part of the blueprint am I? I know I've got to be on there because I'm saved. It's your blueprint, Lord, and I'm at Calvary, and so we're on here. Do you want me? It's not good enough for me to just look at the blueprint and say, bless their hearts. That's a good blueprint. I like that blueprint. No, it has to be for me. It has to be for you. And say, Lord, do you want me to sweep the floor? You want me to sing in the choir? Do you want me to have a ministry of praying for the missionaries? What do you want me to do, Lord? That's what this is here. It says, and by understanding, it is established. It is made firm. The piers are under it. When you and I understand, we've got to go beyond just ambition. We've got to have some actions to it. And once those actions are turned over to the contractor and is turned over to the laborers and is turned over that the house can be built, and when you and I, as individuals in this assembly of believers, we say it's to be done to the glory of God, not for personal advancement or anything else, but to the glory of God, I'm on that blueprint. I'm a part of Calvary Baptist. How can God use me? That's the way a house is built. And what God laid on my heart last Monday morning, early in the morning, and I was so excited when I finished my time with the Lord. Talk about prayer life. What a wonderful prayer life that was following that. Because God just confirmed in my heart, once again, afresh and anew. And He reminded me the what day it was. It was a year, exactly a year, at that same time of day that I was on my knees. I wasn't on my knees at this time, but on my knees then, praying that God said, I want you to leave where you love, and I'm going to give you another love. Okay, he didn't word it in that way, but that's what's happened. My point is, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Let's go on. So, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding, that's principled ambition. Then we see by understanding, it is established. Oh, my goodness, that's a skill in putting together, and it's established as principled actions. And we could talk about the blueprint would have certain education involved in it as we think about the church. There's certain things that are made up. It's education. That's the Bible requires the pastor to preach the Word of God, to teach, to be a preacher and a teacher, and to have that kind of edification, a building up and a growing. So there's education, there's experiences, and there's exposures that go into that. Oh, but with the exposures, we have missions, and we have compassion, and we have so much more. With the experiences, we have just retreats and revivals and things like that. But then in the education, we have studies and verse-by-verse studies and topical studies and whatever that gives us a rounded view of what the Word of God has for us in our ambition to be what God wants us to be. So we come now to the last, verse number 4. It says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Now, they weren't there before the building was there. When it was just an ambition and wisdom is a house established, or is a house builded, then it was all right, by wisdom, what can we use to say this is the kind of church that we want to have? We want to have a church that's missions minded. We want to have a church that's this. We want to have a church that's that. And so the wisdom does that. And then the blueprint begins to take place and people become a part of the ministry. People become a part of a particular ministry within the church and so forth. And so what he says is in this last, and by knowledge, that's an experiential knowledge. That when you and I, as Paul, as Solomon was saying to his son about their lives in the kingdom of Israel, but specifically for us in our ministry, that when you and I understand God wants us to be godly, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. But he has a way of going about it, and it's established in the Word of God. We don't have to look for it. It's in the Word of God. Because all Scripture is given inspiration for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. There's the word perfect. The house is built. It's just like God wants it to be. And when you and I are a part of a ministry, when in my life, in your lives, when we collectively or individually are a part of what God wants in our lives, we're doing it, we're being it, we're pursuing it, the chambers are going to be filled with those things that God says is precious and pleasant. When we step out of that, oh my goodness. And that's why this passage is in contrast. It's written in a way of contrast. You notice verses 2 and 3, or 1 and 2, we talked about it. Where was that? I'm in Timothy. I need to get back to where we were in Proverbs. But he says here, and again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16, 7 Timothy 2, 22. I'm sorry. I'll get it right. Romans 7. 21, all right? Romans 7, 21. Paul says, I see then that there is a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So we understand individually in my life, I go through it every day, you do too. Individually, there is a pushback on doing what's right. And when we set out to do what's right, the Bible says, when I would do, there's a temptation to not follow through with it. Or when we're in the context of things that are not godly, there's those things, those temptations that come in and invite us by way of invitation. Come on, you can do that. There's Christians that do that or whatever. Or by way of intimidation. If you don't do that, you're not going to ever. So temptation has two voices to it, really, no matter what the subject is. It's either enticement or intimidation. And Paul says, and I'll get it right this time, in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, he says, "When I see that there's a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Okay, so let's look at it. Notice the terminology here. Be not thou envious, so there's envy, against evil men. So there's two things that we got to watch for. Neither desire to be with them. There's three things. Verse number 2, for their heart studieth destruction. Okay, there's another one. And their lips talk of mischief. There's another one. We go to verse number 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. All right. So there's another one. He openeth his mouth in the gate. In other words, he doesn't worry about to whom he says whatever. Number 8, he that deviseth to do evil should be called a mischievous person. So you got two more there. Verse number 9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So we just have to understand that when we set out individually to do God's will, there's always going to be pushback one way or the other. I go through it every day. Okay, and you do too. It may be corporately we're going to go through. Have in the past, you have in the past, we will in the future. So we just know that's how things work here in this life. Now notice the very next verse. As God brought it to my attention, my heart was thrilled with what I read in verses 3 and 4. Boy, that's the way the church is to be built. Yes, praise God. I think I'm on track with that, but praise the Lord. Ah, it's confirmed. Yes, praise the Lord. And then I read about the other, and I know how pushback works, and I've been through it in years past, and praise the Lord, God sees us through it. I've learned a long time ago, if you're doing what's right and it gets you in trouble, keep doing what's right and it'll get you out of trouble. Amen? So here's the point, is I'm familiar with that, but then the Lord helped me to really focus on verse number 10. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Every one of us go through adversities in our life. It may be physically, emotionally, business-wise, monetarily. But we go through those things. But according to this text, the way a house is builded is according to wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Wisdom and understanding are really the motivations and the activations of where we're building our lives in Christ. And corporately as a ministry, yes. But where it really comes down is in the knowledge of it, of saying, praise God, here's what he's done for me in the past. I did it by faith, and God honored it. And if I'll just build my house according to wisdom and knowledge or understanding, then the knowledge part, the experience, is going to come. Now, when we're in the process of building, you may hit your thumb with a hammer, go, ah, that hurt. Or you may be put a tube before that's not exactly vertical and it's supposed to be. And because of that, there may be something that needs to be fixed. And you come back and you fix it. But once the house is erected like it should be, it's a pleasant place to be. And you can bring all kinds of vases or vases into the house and add to the beauty of it. You can bring all kinds of whatever, and it'll be precious things and pleasant things. But he reminds me in verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But then looking at it, and again, I was reading this for me, for Randy Bray, early in the morning, last Monday morning. And God put this in front of me. He says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, in other words, if there's folks at risk, if thou art, and he says, Solomon to his son, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, there's a place there. Notice what he said to me, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. I didn't know about that. I just didn't see it. I didn't know it. If thou sayest, behold, we know it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He's talking about God. And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Okay, Lord, I got the message. You've confirmed to me of what you called me to do a year ago. And you've confirmed to me how a ministry is to be built. And if I'm negligent in that, Lord, the ministry's not going to be built in the way it should be. Lord, if I'm belligerent or I'm anything else, it's not going to be built according to wisdom and to understanding and experientially to knowledge. And if I just say, well, I just, you know, it's not that big a deal and whatever else is going on, and I just let it kind of just, well, it doesn't have anything to do with me or whatever, and I just let it go, God's saying, be careful now. I'm telling you how it can be done well and done right. And if you deviate from that, it's not going to be done well nor done rightly according to my standards. But I'm going to tell you something, Randy. As you've been before me and you're reading my word now, that you need to make sure that you are what God wants you to be. This ministry needs to be what God wants it to be. And if that's the case, all is well. But if not, your soul is before me. I'm keeping your soul. That's steadfast in the blood of Christ. But there's an accounting coming. So all that to say this morning, friend, I was euphoric when I came to this and God laid it, and he wouldn't let me away from it until I saw, here's how God wants it to be built. He tells us exactly what to do to have it to be successful. And if I, as the pastor of Calvary Baptist, will pursue that and pursue it transparently, if I'll pursue it as unto the Lord, and we as a congregation, but if we will do that and not wait for somebody else to do this and somebody else to do that and somebody else to do that, and we just dismiss what each one of us can do in our part of the blueprint for Calvary Baptist Church, whether we're a church of 10 or 1,000, when we'll look at it and say, you know what, God has me here and I need to be a part of that and I need to be doing this, I need to do that as God leads me in the direction I need to be a part. Guess what? When we do that, we'll experience Greek language, gnosko. We'll experience the blessings, the precious things that God's doing. The Bible says it like this in Psalm. Just back a few pages. Psalm 126. Would you turn there with me and we'll be finished. Psalm 126. And I keep going all around it. And you're familiar with the text. I'm still going all around it. I'm in 136. I'll get there. 126. Verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall what? Will you say it for me? Reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Can you say the rest of it with me? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. How? Bringing his sheaves with him. That needs to be a part of our wisdom. That needs to be a part of our understanding. And that's what we want to be a part experientially of what God does in this place. We've seen a taste of it. But let's ask God to do so much more. But it's only going to be if you and I and each one of us are saying, Lord, I know challenges are going to come from here or there, whenever and however they come. That's all right. We expect that. Every individual goes through it who knows Christ, and every ministry goes through it that's determined to be what God wants it to be. That's okay. We understand it. We don't let it rock us. We just keep going. But really the core and heart is found in verses 3 and 4. And it's saying, wait a minute. I better have some principled ambitions. I better have some principled actions that go with those ambitions. And then I better have some principled additions, because that's going to be the fruit that God does and gives to those who walk uprightly. I trust as God has laid it on my heart, and God preached this message to me last Monday morning and reminded me, had me, that's why we put up on the billboard, He Did It Again. That was the name. He gave me that message and gave it to me, the title of it, He Did It Again. What did He do again? He did it for me again, of confirming this is what God wants for this ministry, and I need to be ever about it, ever about it. And in my covenant between God and you and myself is just that. It will be. But then I invite you to join me with that covenant of saying, I want to be used of God some way every day. I want to be what God, not just for myself, so that I'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but so that the gentleman or the lady across the street or down the way or downtown or wherever it is, when they think of Calvary Baptist, they think of that cross, and many folks have seen that cross and refer to it. When they see that, it goes beyond just a sign or it goes beyond just a person. But when they think of you and they think of me, they think of this ministry, they think of Christ. And if they're an unsaved individual, that the Lord can use us to draw them to Him. May God help us to be wise, understanding, and with knowledge of God's will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We pray that You'll add Your blessing to the message that You laid upon my heart a week ago, just about, not quite a week, Monday. So, Father, I thank You for that. You immersed me in it all week this week. And so, Lord, I'm grateful for that as well. And now I pray, Lord, that those who are here, those who are members, and perhaps those visiting by way of live stream or perhaps even in the auditorium this morning, that we'll take this text and just re-examine it and say, okay, how does God want to work in my life? As I'm a part of Calvary and an individual as a Christian, how does God want me to exercise wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Because He's promised that the house will be built. He's promised that all these other things, but it's up to me. That's why He said if 3 times. If. He leaves the decision up to us. And Lord, may I and may we as a ministry have that driving ambition to be used of You and give You the glory. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.